number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Wound studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. You know what they say.
You know what they say. See a broad to get that booty act. Leg it down. Smack them. Yackle.
Oh, God. Time is the right time. It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
If we die, we die together.
And YahooSportsRadio.com.
Tony D with you.
Getting interactive, recapping everything that's going down.
And giving you your first chance to react. Nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Yahoo Sports Radio
is now.
Oh, got to be.
This is what we do.
From the Quick and Wound Studios, here's Tony D.
Oh, what did we learn, kids, after the Sunday extravaganza in the National Football League? I like the Carolina Panthers. They beat the Green Bay Packers. Actually had to hold on to beat the Green Bay Packers. Did you really think Aaron Rodgers was just going to get crushed when that game was 27-7 at halftime? Did you think Aaron Rodgers was just going to go away? No, he threw four touchdown passes. But the Carolina Panthers are now 8-0. Patriots are also 8-0. They took down Washington 27-10, although they lost Deion Lewis. They got banged up. They're banged up pretty good, but not bad enough. Oh. And the big game that I got, the Titans and the Saints. Marcus Mariota, welcome back to the NFL, old friend.
He's legit.
Four touchdowns, no interceptions today. Marcus Mariota. Titans under Mike Mularkey win again. You know what? Every team that gets a new coach like wins that initial game, right? It's that freshness. There's a new sheriff in town. Practice is a lot crisper. Ask the Dolphins how the Dan Campbell era is working so far. You win those initial games and everybody gets fired up, and then all of a sudden, whoops. Things start to fall apart a little bit. I see it with the South Carolina Gamecocks. Sean Elliott took over for Steve Spurrier. Everyone's excited, right? But then you lose a couple of games. Next thing you know, not so fun anymore. Titans are still a bad team, but Mariota's good. 371 with four touchdowns and no interceptions. Anthony Fasano with the touchdown in overtime. It's a bad loss for the Saints because the Saints, they're not necessarily trying to keep pace with the Panthers per se, but they are trying to keep themselves alive in a potential wild card race. And they had won four out of five games, and now they're 4-5 overall. While the Titans are, you know, a worthless 6-2, that's not going to amount to much. The Saints could be derailed a touch. Drew Brees with three touchdowns and an interception. Mariota is fun to watch. He's the only reason I do watch the Titans. Otherwise, I'd be scrambling around looking for some old classic clips in somewhere, or following a game on Gamecast, for crying out loud, or boogieing to my local wing bar and watching games for a couple of hours. The Buffalo Bills got a win over the Miami Dolphins. We were just talking about Dan Campbell. Now he's lost the last two in-division rival games, losing to the Patriots on that Thursday night game and now to Buffalo. The Dolphins at 3-5 are in last place in the AFC East. Well, the Bills are 4-4. LeSean McCoy at 112 yards rushing. The battle of the running backs went to Adrian Peterson today. He outrushed Todd Gurley by 40 yards, I think, around 40 yards. 125-89. All right, so it's a little less than that. The Vikings are now 6-2. The Rams are 4-4. That was an overtime victory for the Vikings. The Jets beat the Jacksonville Jaguars, forcing four Jag turnovers. The Steelers have lost Ben Roethlisberger again for a few more weeks, a week or so, 1-2. But the Steelers hold on and beat the Raiders. Did you know that the Steelers' offense revolved around D'Angelo Williams and Antonio Brown, and that was pretty much it in today's game?
Yeah, what, Martavis Bryant had like a kind of a late touchdown?
Yeah. The Steelers had over 600 yards of offense today. Let me look this up because this was rather interesting. The Steelers had 597 yards of offense. D'Angelo Williams had 170 yards rushing, and Antonio Brown had 284 yards receiving in this game. They accounted for nearly all the yards. You're right. Bryant had a 14-yard touchdown. I think he finished with 30-something yards receiving. But that was pretty much it. Antonio Brown also accounted for 22 yards rushing. So they pretty much had all the rushing yards. And Williams had 55 yards receiving. So Heath Miller, Martavius Bryant combined for 63 yards of offense. Jesse James with 13. And that was it. Everything else was D'Angelo Williams and Antonio Brown today. By the way, Derek Carr threw 4 touchdowns. 301 yards and 4 touchdowns. And threw a beautiful pass to Michael Crabtree. That was as good as a pass I've seen so far this year. Perfectly thrown. Raiders are going to do some fun stuff down the stretch. I think they're going to, next couple of years, they're going to be fun to watch. I'm hoping. I say that because everybody says it. But be honest, we don't know. It's like, you ever see an announcer go, when you got a young kid and you go, we're going to hear from this kid for years to come. There's going to be many, many Pro Bowls in that kid's future. And we never hear from him again because the league doesn't work that way. We think we know, but we don't know. Some guys work out, some guys don't. But we like to, we like to project a bit. Now the Giants beat Tampa Bay 38-18. They go to 5-4. I don't know how in God's name Blaine Gabbert and the 49ers beat the Atlanta Falcons. That was a game I wish I watched. But instead I was watching Broncos Colts. He threw 2 touchdowns. Blaine Gabbert threw 2 touchdowns, had 2 interceptions. Matt Ryan had no touchdowns. Or I think we had him. No, I'm sorry, he had 1 to Devontae Freeman. Freeman had like 12 yards rushing. But the 49ers scored all their points only in the second quarter. That was it. And the Falcons are now 6-3. Don't look now. And the Colts beat the Broncos 27-24. They're now 4-5. And the Broncos suffered their first loss of the season. We also talked about the Cowboys and their overtime loss to the Eagles 33-27. So there you go. Week number 9 in the National Football League. All right, coming up next, we'll talk a little college football. I want to get to this Missouri strike situation. The players are going on strike. They are in support of a protest on campus as there have been some racial incidents at the University of Missouri. They're calling for the ouster of the president. One of the students is having a hunger strike, and now the football team is ceasing football activities. This has potential to be one of the biggest stories in college athletics, if it indeed goes to fruition. I don't know if it will or not, but we'll explore the details next. It's Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
This guy's on. Back to him.
Back to the Quicken Loans Studios.
And back to Tony D.
I try to do as much research as I possibly can whenever I bring a topic to your attention. I will go to a number of different sources to try to get every angle to a story as I possibly can. It's not just an X's and O's radio show. We just don't go over stats and games and what they all mean. Sometimes there are issues in sports that come up, and I really want to know. So I got to do a little digging and try to get people on that know more than I do and all of that. This Missouri player strike has me somewhat perplexed. I think I understand the basics of this story, but I think I'm missing something because it's a story that doesn't add up based on the information that I have. Yet I can't find the missing piece that would make sense of this story. And let me give it to you. There has been two racial incidents going on at the University of Missouri. And there was one situation where a swastika was drawn on a wall using human feces. And so there's outrage on the campus of the University of Missouri over this. And naturally, this is something that we don't tolerate in our society anymore. And so there's anger brewing and really strong anger brewing from the African-American community on the campus of Missouri, as well as white students who are in support of the anger of these racial incidents and something should be done. The anger is being directed at the university president, Tim Wolfe. They feel that he didn't act quick enough or didn't do something. And so now the student body that's protesting is calling for his firing, or for him to step down. They are so angry that one graduate student is going on a hunger strike and has not eaten since Monday. He's taking in water, but he's not taking in any food. He wants this guy to resign. Now the Missouri football team that's mired in a bad season has joined in this protest and has decided to boycott all football activities until this university president steps down. So we have real social activism going on at the University of Missouri. Why? Because there have been instances of racism on campus. There is anger at these incidents. There needs to be somebody to blame, and the blame is going up against the president of the school, who this body feels, I guess, didn't do enough. But this is what I don't understand, a part of the story, and this is where the digging continues for me. I can't find anywhere the exact thing they wanted him to do to prevent this or do to make this easier to handle. Apparently, he didn't do something. What didn't he do? Are they just calling for him because that's what you do? You just call for the person in charge to be removed from office when you're angry about something? He didn't do the racial incidents. He didn't smear the swastika with human feces. He didn't directly do any of that stuff. And I don't think, at least from all of my research, I don't think he said anything in support of those things occurring at the University of Missouri. They're just angry at him and want him removed. So now the football team may not play coming up on Saturday against BYU. They're not practicing and they're not getting together. Now you may be thinking, oh, well, then the head coach must be, you know, going to get involved here, and some heads are going to roll over these students that don't want to play football. You'd be wrong, because Gary Pinkel supports this, tweeting out a picture saying that the team stands united in this protest of the athletes that want to make their voice heard in this social activism. So what does this mean? Well, it doesn't look like, and again, this is an ever-changing story, so tomorrow could be absolutely different than what we're talking about now. In fact, this story could change in 10 minutes from now, based on any decision that comes here on the overnight. They want this president to step down. This president has said he's not stepping down, regardless of the fact that this student may be killing himself by not eating. Now, I want to step out of the talk show host analytical guy and sort of get a little emotional here. I really hope this kid eats. I really hope this kid comes to his senses and puts food in his system. This is not something to die over. This is not something to kill yourself over. I know it may sound cool. I know it may sound like this is the thing that you can do to get people on your side. But people love you and they care about you, and I really hope he eats something. There are many, many, many ways to get your point across. There are many ways you can force action. There are many ways that you can rally the media and rally people to your cause and build support and build momentum. We've seen people do this time and time and time again, and they didn't need to set themselves on fire and they didn't need to starve themselves to death. I pray, Mr. Butler, that you eat something. That you stop this and eat something. Do not give up the fight. If you strongly believe in your cause, find another way to get your point across. No one will think that the issue is dead because you decided that you just didn't want to die. But don't die. Don't be a martyr here. You're too young. You're 25. You have the world ahead of you. You went to school for a reason. You wanted to be something. You went to school to make a difference in your life and to maybe make a difference in the world. Do not die not eating something over this. Okay, thanks. Now let's get back to the football. What does this mean? It means that the University of Missouri, that has an obligation to a number of different media entities to play this football game, not only to themselves, but to BYU, could be in a position to forfeit these games over this cause. And they may force the hand of people who could get Mr. Wolf out of power. But is this a good thing? Well, I'm not here to make a judgment on the cause. If players feel strongly enough that they want to protest and they want to strike, then let them strike. But I also believe in there are ramifications and there are consequences to these kind of decisions. For example, what I just made a plea for the student that is on the hunger strike to eat something because dying is not something you get to take back if you decide to change your mind on an issue or decide that you've gone too far. There have been many, many protests over the years, and some of them resulted in imprisonment, for example. And that imprisonment maybe had been long enough for some that they stood right through it, and they lasted all the way until the very end, until their point was made. And then some actually said, no, that's enough, I got to get out of here, and ended it. Death is irreversible. You can't change it. And for these student athletes, the same thing is going to occur here. There is going to be ramifications for forfeiting these games. And it may come from the NCAA. It may come from the SEC, even though you're playing a non-conference game. These are legitimate business decisions based on protesting. Protest all you want. Protest as long as you want. But you don't get to have everything back. All right? That is the one thing that needs to be made clear. We're not replaying these games for you. We're not going to give you a second chance. If they're gone, they're gone forever. And I wonder how many people on this team really understand where this is going. My other question is Gary Pinkel, the head coach, is supporting this player strike. And again, while I'm not making a judgment on the cause, I'm wondering if Gary Pinkel really supports this idea. And here's why. While the cause of this may be a little shaky to me in terms of why do you want this president to be removed from office? What exactly did he do? Why aren't you making the case that he is a real villain and not a made up villain to make you feel good about a situation that you don't like? Why not tell us exactly what he did or did not do? Gary Pinkel, do you really want to be involved in an entity where the players are dictating this much power? Because let me tell you what, if this works, we are in for a college athletic storm like we have never seen in our lifetime. You give this small but very, very powerful group a voice in an entity in which they have no voice. You watch what gets done and gets done quickly. Do you realize, and I know this is going to be a shock to a lot of you out there, do you realize that these athletes go out there and play in front of millions of people on television and don't get a dime of money? Did you all know that? Because I barely knew that. Yeah, that same old adage, these guys play for free and these guys are getting screwed by the system. You know, we've heard that for what, 50, 60 years? Longer than that, maybe? I'm sure if you go way, way, way back to the first college football games, you would start hearing about how exploited these guys were for the sake of an athletic department. Now we're starting to see, oh my God, Missouri is on strike over something that they may actually accomplish. Wait till the next group of athletes go, we could do the same thing. Let me tell you what, it could happen, and I would be supportive of that. On this, I don't even know why they're trying to get rid of this president. Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Tony D here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Again, thanks for joining us. We'll continue to look at Week 9 in the National Football League. Tough loss for the Cowboys again. We've been saying this every single week for the last 6 weeks. Six losses, six straight losses for Dallas. It goes back 7 weeks because they had a bye in between. have not won with Romo, and time is ticking. 800-777-2907. We've also been talking about the Missouri strike of football players. Say they're not going to play. They're not going to play football until the school president has been removed. You found an interesting quote on this story there,
yeah,
Adam?
Yeah, ESPN's Brett McMurphy talked to one of the players, who is white, by the way.
Okay.
He quoted him as saying, "As much as we want to say everyone is united, half the team and coaches, black and white, are pissed. If we were 9-0, this wouldn't be happening."
I agree. I don't think that they would be touching this if they were had a chance to win the SEC East and be playing for a national championship. I don't think this happens at all. I think a lousy team, it's easier to do this sort of thing.
I guess I'm just more surprised. Like, normally when this, I mean, not that this situation happens all the time, but a situation like this where something goes on with the team in general, normally they all get together and kind of talk about what's going on here, and the coaches will kind of be like, "Okay, guys, let's let this play out. Let's not talk about anything." But I mean, you know, instantly we got, as soon as the players come out and say this, we got another kid being like, "No, we're not all united."
My only problem with this story is that kids are going to lose opportunity. One kid is starving himself. Some football, that's obviously the most serious act that's going on, all right? That there's a kid that needs to eat, and he needs to eat now. And then there's football players that are going to lose opportunities to play football, and they're going to, and a school is going to lose revenue. And what I'm hearing, and again, I could be wrong, and if I'm wrong, and any of you know more about this than I do, please correct me, but I've dug and dug and dug and dug, and all I get is, all I see is, nothing more than something symbolic to happen. Not something that has direct proportion to the issue at hand. Meaning, there's racism on campus. Getting rid of the president doesn't remove racism from campus. It's just symbolic. You've taken a powerful person out of their position. You may replace him with another person, and the racism that's on campus that you're mad at stays there. That's what I'm saying. It's one thing if the president was directly tied to it. He said something on television, or he did something, or something that he did was so heinous, he had to be removed from office, and no one's calling him out, and you're angry, and you want him removed because he did X, and X is deplorable. But what I'm sensing out of this story is, and again, please correct me if I'm wrong, that there is racism on campus. There is a powerful person that did not act to solve it or get rid of it. Therefore, he must be removed, and somebody is killing themselves on purpose until he does. And the football team, that's secondary. The kid who's starving himself could lose his life fighting for a symbolic gesture. That's the way I'm reading this. Because the new president of Missouri may not do anything to erase the racism that's infiltrated the campus that are making people uncomfortable and angry. Gary Pinkel has absolutely nothing to gain and everything to lose here. He is in a big mess. Because how can Gary Pinkel come out and say, "I really, really need my players to play football"? How can he do that? He can't. He absolutely can't. So, because if he shows any sort of dismissiveness on this, if he shows any sort of attitude that this is not an issue worthy of the kind of action that his players are willing to go through, then his recruiting is a mess, because he will not be able to recruit African-American football players with that kind of reputation. So he has to support the protest. But on the other hand, he's also beholden to many, many people who have entrusted him to make sure something like this doesn't happen, meaning the schedule says show up at 7 on Saturday night. Your team better be ready to play 7 o'clock on Saturday night. That is your job. You get them there. You get them there ready. And any sort of disunity, any sort of protest, any sort of problems, you fix. So on the one hand, he can't say that these kids are wrong. But on the other hand, he's got to answer to an entity that is saying there's millions on the line here, Gary. Get your football team out on the field. What does he do? And does he really want to be, does he really want to be the coach that opens up, that is responsible for the Pandora's box that's going to be opened up when a bunch of people decide that they can now go on strike for a variety of issues surrounding college athletics? Take the racism out of it. That's a serious issue. I understand that. And these other things are more trivial compared to that, I know. But what I was talking about earlier, once players start realizing we got no voice, once they start realizing, hey, you know what? We can strike to get a piece of the financial pie, to get a better consideration, to get better stipends, to get a better dorm or any type of conditions whatsoever. If we can strike to make that happen, we now have extremely powerful voice. Right? There can't be a Ronald Reagan airline traffic control situation where you just fire everybody who's on strike and claim, hey, you know what? You don't have the right to strike here, or you disband a union. There is no union. The players are just going, we're striking. And what are you going to do about it? Until you meet our demands of, we want this, this, and this, we're not going to play anymore. This story, I'm not kidding, has a chance to be one of the biggest college sports stories of the year if it goes through. Now, again, it's ever changing. It's fluid. The president could step down 5 minutes from now and everybody goes back to their jobs. Or they come to a realization that this isn't going to happen, but we're going to move forward with a couple of things. Or the players realize, all right, I really don't want to give up football for this. Maybe they don't. Maybe they stand strong. I don't know. But what I'm saying is this is an ever fluid story that's changing by the minute. But my God, I hope somebody can get to that kid Butler, I think is his last name, and get some sense into him, and I hope he eats.
The president did issue a statement basically saying he's not stepping down.
No, and here's the other thing. Why would he step down?
Right.
That's the other thing. Now, I'm not trying to make light of the issue at hand. But if you're this university president, all right? Unless your board or your bosses tell you to step down, you don't step down because a bunch of students are protesting. You step down when your bosses tell you to step down. Let them make that decision. You do not set the precedent that students, by just not eating, can start dictating who the president is. And it can be a variety for any other reason. We don't like the way you look, or we don't like the fact that you're this or that, or you come from here, or you came from here, or your background's this, or you came from a corporate world, you used to be a CEO, or you're an old white guy, or whatever. For whatever reason, you cannot step down because a student is not eating. You can't. But you can if your board tells you. You can if the board of regents or whoever his boss are, whoever he answers to. If they tell you to step down, then you step down. If they feel like this is getting out of control and, you know, we have to answer to the football team and we have to answer to this one graduate student and we don't want that on our heads, then you step down. But you don't step down. You get forced to step down. And by the way, he's probably under contract. He's probably like, no, I'm sorry. No, starving graduate student is not going to get me out of my contract. If I quit, I get nothing. If I'm forced out, I get paid off at X amount of million. No, I'm not going to give that away. You want me out? It's going to be under these terms. But these football players, if they are successful, it's going to change it. It's going to change college football. I mean, look at what Northwestern did in trying to form a union, and then eventually, when they tried to expand that idea across the board, they couldn't. So what is their only power? Don't play. Don't play until the rule is changed. You can't just go field another team. You can't just go put a bunch of other kids on that football team. If everyone on the team is united and they can get five or six teams to do it, we're looking at a whole new world of college athletics. But I agree with that quote. I side with that quote. If they were 9-0, this is not happening. No chance. And the thing is, the media is just going to be all over this. They're going to talk about how fantastic this protest is without seeing a larger picture. So again, I mean, if this is worthwhile enough to give up football, fine, but there are going to be consequences to this. You're not getting these games back. And you may not solve the problem that you're angry about in the first place.
And the school is set to lose, I want to say I saw $1.1 million if they do not play BYU at Arrowhead Stadium next weekend.
Oh, I know. And that's right, against BYU at Arrowhead Stadium.
Yep.
I mean, listen, I get it. If the president of the school was a Klan member, I would completely get it. But I still can't find what he did wrong.
Everything I've read now, you know, sitting here, I've read about six pieces. It's all just his inactivity with the incidents. That's okay. All I keep seeing.
Has anybody said exactly what they wanted him to do but did not do?
No, basically, they just want him to react. I mean, is all it is, and I don't know what he's done. I don't know if there's. You know, he's done, you know, there's been talk that they're going to start working with, like, you know, racial equality into the university over the next few months. And they hope to have a big, I don't remember exactly what it was, but basically they're just going to work it in the university over these next few months. And I mean, that's his plan. He's rolled out a plan.
But the plan is not accepted. Acceptable.
Basically.
I'm assuming, because the kid's not eating.
Yes. I mean, like you said, it's a very dangerous situation for not only the kid not eating, but just the university in general.
Please, I hope that kid eats. Can somebody convince the kid to eat and then deal with it another way than dying? Because this kid, he's 24, 25 years old, man. He's a kid. I'm sorry. He's still a kid. He's got the world ahead of him. He could be an instrumental person in changing the world for a lot of reasons, for a lot of issues that we're dealing with. He could be a spokesperson to change the world, and he may be giving up his life over this. Don't do it. Don't do it. Fight another way, but don't die. Don't die. God, it just breaks my heart to think he has a family and they may lose him. They may be burying him, putting him in a coffin and putting him into the ground because he decided not to eat over this issue and it did not go his way. He hasn't eaten since Monday. We're already 7 days into this. Come on, man. Somebody get to this kid and have a meet. Then deal with it. Then deal with it another way. Believe me, there's many, many other ways to fight, but please get some food. All right, 800-777-2907 is the number if you want to comment on that. If you know more about this than I do, again, if you can tell me exactly what this guy did, because I looked and looked and looked and looked and looked to try to find a specific thing that this guy did that is causing all this. I can't find anything. It makes me think this is symbolic, but I'm more than happy to admit I'm wrong here, because all I did was I must have read five or six different accounts of this, and I cannot find one thing. 800-777-2907. We'll continue to talk about the NFL, and we got to get to college, because what a weekend. It's all coming up. Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Tony D again here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Thanks for joining us. 800-777-2907. All right, we've been talking about week 9 in the National Football League, the Missouri situation. I do want to get to the crazy weekend. Because, look, there are some teams now that are dealing with the one loss spectacle. And we're going to get more into this coming up in the next hour, because it really did shape up nicely, didn't it? Like, remember last week when we were like, Memphis, watch out. What are we going to do with Memphis? Well, we don't have to worry about that anymore. All right, before we get to more on that, let's go to Joe in San Antonio. You're next up on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Joe, you're saying you don't know what the problem is. Remember what happened at Oklahoma University, and David Bourne the very next day came out. You know, those frat boys were chanting that song on the bus.
Oh, right.
The very next day, David Bourne, the president, came out and had a press conference and addressed it and took action. And that's what the problem is, that this president apparently hasn't taken action.
Okay, the president hasn't said anything, but he hasn't taken action because nobody knows who did it. You're talking about David Bourne could act because they knew who did that. They had somebody that they said, that person, we know exactly who did that. They don't know who did any of these things. So while, yes, he has not spoken, what action can he take if he doesn't know where to go?
That's a fair point, but at least maybe he could come out and say something, maybe.
No, and that's true, But a kid is going to kill himself because a guy didn't give a speech? That's where this is heading?
I'm not saying you're wrong about that. I'm just talking about that other, you know, you have a fair point. They don't know who did it. I'm just saying he could come out and say something.
Of course. He could.
Whatever.
Yeah, no, I agree. He should have. I think this, though, if that's the only thing here, this went to 11 very quickly. If that is the only thing they're angry about, this went to 11 very quickly. They're not angry at just that, though. There is a culture there that they are angry at, that this is sort of happening within their school. And they're right. They have every right to be angry that racism is apparently prevalent at the University of Missouri. My only concern is it's symbolic in that the guy didn't commit the crime, but because he didn't speak the way they wanted him to speak or in a timely manner, a kid is ready to die, a football team doesn't want to play, and they're demanding that he lose his income.
Well, I understand, but it's not that he has, it's just that he hasn't spoken at all.
Right, but what? No. But here's the deal. He hasn't spoken in a timely manner for them. Yes, he has not spoken at all, but he hasn't done it on their timeline.
Has it been a week?
Well, wait, it doesn't matter. It could be a month or a year. The timeline is being defined by the protesters. Do you know what I'm saying? Look.
Okay, yeah, fair point.
What you're saying fair is point. He hasn't spoken in a week, therefore he's wrong. Well, he may not speak in a month. He may speak in 2 weeks. He may speak in 3 days. The timeline is being defined by the protesters. He did not address this by X. Therefore, we now demand he lose his job.
Well, you're making it very black and white. I'm not so sure it is.
I don't think it is black and white. No. And I don't want to make it black and white. But what I'm saying is I am more sympathetic to something that's direct, meaning I am more sympathetic to a protest when like in the Oklahoma example that you gave, where there is a perpetrator, we know who that is, and there can be action taken against the perpetrator. We can remove the fraternity from the campus. We can take away scholarships. We can kick them out of school. When there's action that can be taken directly, I am more sympathetic to that. This is, we can't get the guys, but we certainly can get the power that's behind the guy, we think.
He could come out and say, the president could come out and say, we don't know who they are, but we're going to do everything we can to try to find who, at least say something.
But even again, would that really placate what's the overriding problem with this? Was that all it would take?
Communication
hurts. It hurts because you don't know, because the powers that be don't feel like they're addressing your concerns.
I guess it appears the players feel non-words from the president.
Very good.
Okay.
I think you are onto something. I think you're onto something. And that, I think that is a very, very good point. The idea that when the powers that be don't address your concern, you don't feel like your concern is valid. That is a very, very frustrating position. That is an excellent point. I mean, just take it to work. You know, take it to a simple work thing. When you get to work and you say, like, I don't like this working condition. This is unhealthy for me. I don't like it sitting in here or this, whatever it is. And you take it to your boss and your boss ignores you or does not address that. Yes, it's very, very frustrating. I completely understand. And maybe this guy, but if this guy comes out and says anything, does it fix the problem? I don't know. I don't know if it does or not. 800-777-2907.